Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
How Solomon have turned away from the Lord. And beloved brothers and sisters, this is exactly what caused the kingdom of Israel to be divided and ultimately being taken captive to Assyria, first of all, and then later on to the land of Babel. But here, listen to this, beloved friends. King Shlomo had a son by the name of Rehoboam. And God said to Solomon, I'm going to remove this kingdom from you, but I will not do it your days, I will do it in your son's days. And sure enough, Rehoboam, who was the son of King Shlomo, Rehoboam did not submit to the Lord and was not wise, and he brought about the division of the nation of Israel. According to 1 Kings chapter 12 and 1 Kings chapter 16 and so on, Rehoboam was the cause that Israel as a nation will become a divided nation. How sad. How sad when Israel as a nation were divided now because of Rehoboam's lack of wisdom and lack of submission to the Lord. We read in 1 Kings chapter 11 that Solomon slept with his fathers in the end of this 11th chapter. In chapter 12 of 1 Kings, Rehoboam became the king. And all Israel, this is the northern kingdom, saw that Rehoboam treated them in such a way, he put much taxes, he put a lot of burdens on the whole kingdom. And we read in this 1 Kings chapter 12 how they came to him and they appealed to him. And instead of Rehoboam listening to the wise counsel of the elderly, he listened to the young friends of his, and he caused a division in the nation of Israel. We read in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 16, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, this is Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwell in the city of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So now what happened, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, in order for us to understand the history of the Samaritan woman that we are about to speak about, to read about, we learn that the history of Israel was that King Rehoboam caused a division among the nation of Israel, and therefore the 10 tribes of Israel did no longer come to the city of Jerusalem to worship the Lord there. They had another king by the name of Jeroboam, and Israel now had two kingdoms. The kingdom of Yehudah, ruled by Rehoboam, and the kingdom of Israel, ruled by Jeroboam. Two kings, two nations, a divided nation, and that is the beginning of the history of the Samaritans or the Shomronim. And what happened there, from there on, beloved friends, the northern kingdom of Israel departed from the God of Israel. The 10 tribes, instead of coming to Jerusalem, worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem, worshiping the God of Israel, they remained in the north, and they have established their own temple, their own capital city of, and Samaria became the center there. That's how we, the name Shomronim, Samaria, became to be the center of the northern kingdom of Israel. Sadly, and very sadly, that the northern 10 tribes departed and they began to embrace other gods. They built a golden calf there, two of them. Jeroboam built this for them, and they worshiped these golden calves, and they said, "These are the gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt," and they worshiped those golden calves up to the time that God said, "Now is the time to take the northern kingdom into captivity." So from 930 BC until about 721 BC, some 190, almost 200 years, there was a departure from the God of Israel by the 10 tribes. New kings that arose, every one of them without exception did not follow the God of Israel. And therefore, at about 721 BC, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, was taken captive by the Assyrian, by Ashur. God raised the Assyrian, and the Assyrian came, and they took the northern 10 tribes of Israel to Assyria. They took them captive. Rather sad when you really think about it. We read in 2 Kings chapter 17, and I'm just going to read a few verses there. We read in verse 24, "And the king of Assyria brought men from Babel," Babylon, "and from Cutha, and from Ava, and from Hamat, and from Sepharvim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria, and they dwelt in the city thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them." Kind of very sad to see what happened. The king of Assyria brought from Babel people to mingle with the people of Israel in Samaria. And there was a mixture now of a marriage between Israelis and others from the pagan world. You see, it says they fear not Jehovah, verse 25. "Therefore the Lord sent among them lions and slew some of them." If you continue on, verse 29 of 2 Kings chapter 17, then we find in verse 29, "Habet every nation made gods of their own." Can you imagine what went on there in Samaria, in Shomron, in the northern kingdom of Israel? In fact, we read in verse 32 of 2 Kings chapter 17, "So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord," it says, "and they served their own God." In other words, there was a religious mixture there, a little bit of the truth of the God of Israel, but much of the idols that they brought with them, the pagan gods. And so we find out, sadly, chapter 18 of 2 Kings in verse 11, that the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and he put them in Hala and in Chavor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, because they obey not the voice of the Lord their God, but they transgressed his covenant and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Sad condition, beloved brothers and sisters. But this is how we get this name of a company, of a group that are called the Shomronim, the Samaritan. And so they live there in the so-called, today it's on the west side of the Jordan River, on the inside, the land of Israel, called the West Bank today. and there the Samaritans have lived until 721. And the reason that they are called Samaritans, Shomronim, not only because they lived in this area called Samaria, but they also mingle themselves with other nations and other gods, and the condition, the spiritual condition of these northern tribes of Israel brought about the necessity of God to send them into Assyria, 721, 722 BC. So that's how we even get the company or the group that are called the Samaritans. And therefore, there was a division between southern kingdom, the Jewish people, Judah, and Israel, the northern, the one nation, yet divided because of a departure from the Lord. And so now we find out, remember, this happened in about 721 when they were taken by the Assyrian. Now, 721 BC, over some 750 years later, here is our Lord, Jesus the Messiah. Now he's in the land. 900 years, there was a divided condition between the two nations. There was conflict between the two nations. There was war between the two nations. There was animosity between nations. But the one, Judah, remained in Jerusalem worshiping God, yet the northern kingdom already departed from the God of Israel. So the Jewish people did not have any dealing with the Samaritan. Neither the Samaritans had any dealing with the Jewish people because they sought to influence the southern kingdom to follow after their own way. Somehow, there was some godly king in the south of the tribes in Judah and Benjamin that they somehow retained some small measure of closeness to the God of Israel. Well, listen to this, how it is very interesting. He must needs go through Samaria. Here's our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is now had to go through Samaria. And so we read that he is now on a journey to Galil instead of going in other ways which the Jewish people usually went from the south to the north. They never went through Samaria because there was no dealing with the Samaritan. Therefore, he could have gone through the coast by the ocean, or he could have gone another way, but no, he went directly to Samaria because Yeshua had an appointment there with a person that is known to us here of the Samaritan woman, the Isha HaShomronit. Now, by the way, just that we will see today, the Samaritan still exists. They don't intermarry with other people. They keep themselves separated. It had been said that there are about 700, 800 Samaritans today. Some of them live in the city of Holon in Israel, and others live in Kiryat Luza, and some in other cities. But you have some 700, 800, 900 Samaritans today who live in the land of Israel, and they continue, they maintain the tradition of the Samaritans, reading the Torah, the law of Moshe. They don't believe everything, but they still maintain what the past history, with the heritage that they have had. The rest of the 10 tribes were scattered by the Assyrian, Ashur. Many of them migrated and mingled back with the kingdom of Judah, and they became part of the Jewish community of the people of Judah in the south. But many of the 10 tribes are even today are scattered in the whole world, and only God is the one who knows them, and he will restore them to himself in the future day when he will restore the nation of Israel to himself in the coming days. Well, look how very interesting here, because right now, as the Lord is on the way to the Galil, he says, we read in verse 5, then cometh he unto the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Yosef. Now you notice then that the Lord Jesus have arrived to a city in Samaria. The word here is Sychar, And some do believe that it's really the city of Shechem, or Shechem, as we call it in Hebrew, Shechem. And this city, there he is arriving. It's one of the cities in Samaria. And it's very interesting because according to verse 5, this city is near the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. You remember, in Genesis chapter 33, we read how Jacob, and I'm going to read these verses, Genesis 33, verse 18. We read in verse 18, and Jacob came to Shalem, Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. See, Jacob paid for the portion of the land by the area of Shechem. And what did he do? He erected there an altar and called it Elohei Yisrael. Beautiful. Elohei Yisrael. He have erected an altar, and there he offered sacrifice unto the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. Well, notice that, beloved brothers and sisters, here we find the Lord Yeshua himself coming now all the way to Sechar or Shechem. He's coming there by the area, by the ground where Jacob bought with money, according to Genesis 33, verses 18 to 20. And so here it's all precious because in the next verses, verses 6 and on, you find the Lord beginning a conversation with a person that he came to approach and lead to himself, the Samaritan woman, Ha'isha ha-shomronit. And so we read in verse 6 that Yeshua, now Jacob's well was there. Apparently the well was already created by Jacob and dug by Jacob in the past years, the same as it was in the early days, like when Abraham or Isaac, they prepared the wells. Water was so needful in the area, in the desert there. And so you notice that the Lord, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, I think it's very beautiful, beloved friends, dear brothers and sisters. You see, the whole theme of the Gospel of John is to present before us the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, in his divine nature. He is God. But at the same time, we learn very quickly that he is also a man. You remember John 1:14? And a word became flesh. He became a man, like you and I. Spirit, soul, and body. A human being. Seen apart. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. And here we find him being wearied from the journey. It was about 30-35 kilometers on the way to the Galil, to Samaria, where he had to stop. It was rather a long journey to walk or to take even a riding upon a donkey or something. But it is, he was tired. And here we see the humanity of Yeshua. He was tired. He was wearied from the journey. I often think about the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We read in John 11 that he wept at the grave of Lazarus. Elsewhere we read that he slept at the boat. Sometimes he is weary, tired. Other time he is sleeping like all of us. Other time he is weeping like we do. He became a man like you and I. He can sympathize with us because he experienced all that which we all experience in our life, but always bear in mind that he was sinless. Why? Because he was born to the Virgin Miriam and he was going to become the Lamb of God that will take upon himself the sin of the world. He could not have any sin in him. But he was tired. He was wearied from his journey. He sat on that well, the very same well that Jacob built. And notice it was about the sixth hour. In the Gospel of John, the sixth hour is noon, 12 noon, in the heat of the day. He's tired. He's wearied from the way, and he's there, sitting there on the well and seeking to drink some water. And so it's very interesting because the next verse tells us in verse 7 to 10, here he began his conversation with that woman that we're about to read of her, and she discovers that he, Jesus, Yeshua, was a Jewish man who normally would not speak with the Samaritans. Again, to remind you that years of the history between Israel in the north and Judah in the south brought about such a condition that there was no dealing with one another because the Samaritans departed from the ways of God and adopted the idolatry and adopted the nations of the world, intermarried with the nation of the world, inter-worshipped with the nations of the world, with paganism. And there was no communication, no dealing, because there must be a separation from idolatry. There must be a separation from paganism. There must be a separation from worshipping idols, that the two golden calves that they were building. And there was a separation. Now, that doesn't mean that the people in Judah did not later on got as well worse in their spiritual condition. They also have departed. But you can see that there was a need to be separated from the Samaritan. It's just like today, in the days in which we live in. The believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, cannot embrace everything and any and everyone. Ecumenical movement, everybody mingle with everybody. You believe in your God, I believe in my God, you believe in Jesus, you other believe in another person, and so on. It's not possible. Even between believers, Christians, there was a time separation must be made on the basis of doctrine, false practices must be set aside. But here, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is reaching out to a person who is in desperate need. And that person, we find out in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Yeshua said unto her, give me to drink. Now notice the different, beloved brothers and sisters. Here is a Samaritan woman who was not Jewish. She was part in their heritage of the nation of Israel, but she is now mingled with other nations. And she has a need. She is different than Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to the Lord to seek him. He came to Yeshua by night to ask him questions. Here the Samaritan woman just happened to come in the middle of the day to draw water from the well, Jacob's well. And it is very interesting that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is reaching out to her and he asks her, give me to drink. Notice he was thirsty. He was wearied from the way. He was tired, he fell asleep when he was on a boat in the Galilee. He wept when he saw the Jewish people weeping over Lazarus who died, Eliezer who died. Here we see him thirsty. He was a man reaching out. But the beautiful thing to see how the Lord is reaching out to this Samaritan woman, he says, give me to drink. And you know, it was not common for rabbi, for a rabbi, for a man to speak to women anyway, let alone to speak of the woman of Samaria, who is really worshipping idols, is a pagan by now. And so he says, give me to drink. You notice what we read in verse 8, that the disciples went away to buy food, for his disciples were gone away out to the city to buy meat. They went to get food for those who follow Yeshua. While Yeshua needed that time for them to be away so he can just devote his time to this Shomronit, this Samaritan woman. Now notice how interesting, because the response of this Samaritan woman was very interesting. She said to him in verse 9, "Then says the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that you being Jewish, a Jew, asked a drink of me, which am or a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." She was surprised. She was amazed. How come you, a Jewish man, even speaking to me, who am a woman, number one, and secondly, I'm a woman that belonged to the Shomronim? And then she said, the Jewish people do not have dealing with us, Samaritan. And to remind you, again, from the book of Kings, when there was a departure of the 10 northern tribes from the rest of the nation, from Judah, they have gone further and further and worship other gods and idols and mingle with the nations of the world, which God commanded Israel not to do. So she was surprised. She was really surprised. Notice she recognized that he was Jewish, perhaps, because the Jewish people always wear the tzitzit, is the undergarment with the, you know, below in the bottom of the four corners, you have a portion of it with blue and white, a part of the garment that remind the Jewish people that they belong to the God of Israel, to the God that have chosen them. This is the tzitzit that every Jewish person, even today, the conservative Jewish people still wear it today.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.